You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 322 of Locked On Raptors 4. Super late on Wednesday, April 25th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley, joined in the bowels of the ACC by our pal Vivek Jacob. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. It was extremely tense for about three and a half quarters. And then Dwayne Casey makes some key changes that maybe some of us have been harping on for
a little while.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, this is the one thing that stood out to me. You know, you look at the Raptors all along throughout this series. They've started off games really, really well. The starting five has done a really good job. And then the Wizards, to close games, well, at least the two in Washington, they've gone back to Gortat. And you keep wondering, you know, why won't the Raptors go to Valanciunas to counter that? And we finally saw it. And guess what? At one stage, the Wizards were out-rebounding Toronto 42-21.
Yep.
And the Raptors out-rebound them 14-7 the rest of the way.
Yeah, lots of things like that to get to in this game. Of course, you're listening to the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you're checking out the team focus shows for all 30 NBA teams. It's very helpful. And I don't think I said it. I'm from Raptors HQ, and you can follow me on Twitter at WoodleySean and all that stuff. It's very exciting. I lost the plot for the intro because it's very, very exciting right now. The Raptors are up 3-2 after they beat the Wizards 108-98. And like you said, this game came down to a fourth quarter. The Raptors were up one at halftime, one up one after the third quarter. And it kind of felt like it was, like, I don't know, the timeline suggested that it was much worse than it actually was. You know, DeMar DeRozan was kind of getting some, like, grief from people on the internet for, like, doing too much. But at the same time, the Wizards were doing the thing where they sell out to stop everybody but DeRozan. We're like, all right, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us. We'll live with your shots. And DeRozan made them pay. He was amazing. He had 32 points. I believe 30 of those came in the first three quarters. He really carried the offense when the Wizards were doing a great job of sticking to shooters. They were doing a really good job of mobbing Jonas Valanciunas when he was rolling. And it was just, you know, DeMar was taking what the defense was giving him, and he did a really good job with it. He finished with 32, 12 of 24 from the field, hit 3 of 4 from 3. I mean, those were huge. One of them was like the luckiest shooter's bounce I've ever seen, but hey, you get those, I guess, if you're good and lucky. And then from there, yeah, it all kind of, at the start of the fourth quarter, I felt like it was kind of falling away a little bit. Curiously enough, the Lowry and the bench unit didn't do particularly well. You know, Jakob Poeltl, I think, had a bit of a rough night. He had 9 points, and he was 3 of 5 shooting, and he got a bunch of foul calls and stuff, but he kind of had a bit of a rough night. Most of the bench, I think, did, sort of in terms of decision-making and things like that. Pascal Siakam had a nice little stretch in the second quarter, but was kind of a non-factor after that. And then even in the starters, like OG Anunoby didn't do much offensively. He was 1 of 4 from deep, which is a thing that he hasn't been doing in the series. He's been really good from outside. Serge Ibaka was just a non-factor, just 3 points on 1 of 3 shooting in 23 minutes. Again, though, kind of goes to what the Wizards were doing, trying to shut him down. But yeah, fourth quarter comes around. 8:52, I believe, remaining in the fourth quarter. The Raptors are down 87-82, and Dwayne Casey makes a lineup change. He puts in Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, DeLon Wright, CJ Miles, and Jonas Valanciunas, a lineup that was, you know, by all accounts, all offense. I mean, this was a lineup that the Raptors were just going to try to score with, it seemed, and it turned out to be, you know, a good offensive lineup, but also just like a stifling defensive lineup. So Vivek, all in my rambling, like, what did you see from that lineup, and, you know, what do you think Casey saw when he sort of threw that out against, you know, the Wizards going kind of small with Mike Scott and, I believe, Markieff Morris at center for most of the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I think the big thing for me was just the assertiveness of the role players. Again, you know, you looked at DeLon Wright having that huge fourth quarter, making a three-pointer from, as Dwayne Casey said, from Barry. So little things like that add up. And then Valanciunas, I thought, was just really key. And, you know, the Raptors were defending well, but they just weren't closing out with the rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Valanciunas comes in, and he's grabbing those rebounds. And so, you know, the one thing with good offensive lineups is when you're scoring consistently, it puts so much pressure on the other team to keep up, especially in a close game like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a different kind of pressure, you know? And so I thought you could tell that showed with the Wizards. You know, there a couple of times they took some really quick shots in the shot clock, and, you know, one was a Markieff Morris three, you know, above the break, and just you know, I think someone mentioned that Wall and Beal only shot two or three times in the fourth. So,
yeah,
you know, those are things that they'll have to address, obviously, but the Raptors will take that all day. And, you know, the way they played it with Valanciunas showing a bit more on the pick and roll, a bit higher, I think that made a difference as well, because Wall was having a pretty good game from the mid-range.
Mm-hmm.
And then him trying to find other guys to get them involved, whether it was Bradley Beal or anyone else, just trying to muster up some offense. I think JV just did a really good job of plugging that gap.
Yeah.
And so I think that was the difference in the game.
Yeah, the point you made about him kind of coming up higher and showing the pick and roll a little bit was, you know, that was huge, because like you said, Wall, he was 0-4 from deep, but he was, you know, cashing those mid-range shots that the Raptors have been happy to live with most of this series. Like, that's a shot that you're fine with, but when he's hitting every single one of them, he has to do something about it. And I thought it was a pretty quick, you know, Dwayne Casey's been chided for his in-game adjustments, but he obviously, you know, directed Jonas to come up a little higher. That sort of gave Wall some trouble. Jonas stripped Wall in a pick and roll situation.
That
at
was
one
unbelievable.
Point. Like, ridiculous. Started a playback the other way, I think ended with a DeMar dunk.
Don't know if I've seen that before. Don't know if I'll see that again.
We're never going to see that again. I thought my eyes were lying to me. It was insane. And then, yeah, you know, the point you made about them, you know, having to sort of counter the Raptors after they scored buckets. This entire series, the Wizards' half-court offense has been kind of dog shit, right? Like, it's been struggling. I believe it had, like, a 53 offensive rating in the first half of Game 4, and it wasn't much better in the second half. Most of their buckets are coming off of misses. I believe they have, like, 130 or something insane like that offensive rating off of Raptors' misses. So, you know, to put a lineup out there that was scoring at will, that, I think, is, you know, as good a defense as anything in this particular series, considering what the Wizards have done when the Raptors' offense has sputtered. So, yeah, I just thought it was a top-to-bottom excellent performance. DeLon Wright, let's talk about DeLon Wright. 11 points in the fourth quarter. He had 18 points overall. 6 of 10. He was 2-2 from deep. It was beautiful. The first three he made, I think it was the first half, you could see he almost didn't shoot it. He was a little shake in his elbow. Was like, oh, am I going to do it? And then he did it. It went cash. And then he had one late that he hit, as you said, Dwayne Casey said, from Barry. That kind of, you know, Kyle and DeMar talked after the game about how that kind of helped open up the offense a little bit for those guys to be taking shots, him and CJ Miles in particular. And Miles not even so much taking shots, just kind of being a threat on the floor and the Wizards having to be up in his grill the entire time off the ball. But back to Wright, 18 points, 5 boards, just 1 assist, but I think that kind of speaks to him kind of doing a good job of, like, finding his own offense. He was kind of the only guy for the second unit in the second quarter, in particular when they went all bench, who could kind of get his own shot. He made a couple driving layups, and that was pretty much all the offense that lineup could conjure. That lineup, I thought, was kind of lucky to avoid getting torched. There was a minute there where it was the all bench lineup against the Wizards lineup with their you know, their three best players, Porter, Beal, and Wall, and then it was Oubre and Gortat, or Oubre and Mahimi, something like that, and they went even in that minute. That was kind of a crucial little key cog in the game, but DeLon was really the only guy creating any offense in that situation. What did you like from DeLon's fourth quarter in particular? Because he was, you know, maybe more than anybody, the difference for that second, that unit that they had out there to close the game.
Yeah, you know, DeRozan after Game 4, with the shots that he took, with some of those shots, you know, just being by necessity because other guys weren't taking shots when the opportunities presented themselves. You look at DeLon Wright saying that 30 people were up in his Instagram, Twitter, and whatnot, in his mentions, just telling him to shoot the ball. You know, I think that obviously had a positive effect, because in that fourth quarter, you're sort of looking for someone outside of DeMar to say, hey, we have to take this game by the scruff of the neck and show that we want to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
And DeLon really showed that. And if he can keep that up, you know, the aggressiveness in terms of, because even in the first half, you look at it, he scored a few points to keep that bench unit in it.
Mm-hmm.
He was genuinely trying to create offense for the unit, mm-hmm. the entire unit. And so one of the things I noticed was, you know, with that unit, it's just so easy to stay at home on everyone, or, you know, even trap at certain points where, you know, you can reach out to Siakam or a Poeltl or whoever it may be, right? And so I think that's the challenge, you know, when you look at the one assist that he had. So I think overall in the fourth quarter, when you have a Kyle Lowry, when you have a DeMar DeRozan to play make, it takes that load off his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he can just sort of transition to being, hey, when that ball comes to me, I've got to be ready to either shoot. the shot is in there, I can go and do work and maybe create for Lowry or DeRozan, who for sure will be ready to shoot.
Yeah. The thing, too, that I thought was great about the fourth quarter was that they weren't, like, just running high pick and roll with DeRozan and sort of baiting the Wizards, sort of baiting themselves, really, into what the Wizards wanted them to do, right? Like, the Wizards wanted DeMar, it seemed like, to take the lion's share of the shots that worked for them in game four, and, like, it burned them in game two, and it burned them in this game, but, like, I guess they're happy to live with DeRozan pulling up from 10 feet as opposed to just getting a barrage of threes rained on them, and I think we saw it again. Kyle mentioned after the game that they only had 25 threes attempted. Like, that's not what they want. Their goal is 30 every night, so, like, the Wizards still succeeded in that regard. But I thought in the fourth quarter they did a good job of not having DeRozan have to dictate every single possession in the same way. Kyle mentioned a couple times they had DeMar sort of post up and ran some stuff out of there. They had, you know, DeLon and Kyle kind of went back and forth with some possessions as well to kind of keep the attention away from DeRozan, because they're definitely playing those situations differently than they are with DeRozan, right? Like, with DeRozan, they're sticking to shooters a lot more attentively. With Kyle, they've been trapping still, leaving a little bit with him. And DeLon, they kind of have to, you know, play everyone honest. And, you know, DeLon's been so good at driving to the rim as well that, like, there's just a lot of space when those three guys are out there. So for them to not have DeMar have to create everything, I think he only attempted two shots in the fourth quarter. And I don't think that's, like, a bad thing. I think that's, like, ultimately a good thing, really, that they were able to sort of mix it up a little bit and sort of, you know, DeRozan did his job. He carried the team to where they needed to. He had them in it after three quarters, despite some kind of questionable performances from the secondary guys. And then when you find the right mix of guys and you kind of approach the offense the way they did, I thought it was just, like, a perfect approach. And another sort of good bit of coaching from Dwayne Casey, because you could noticeably see any time, especially, like, Lowry, he'd run a little dribble handoff with, like, Ibaka or Valanciunas or even DeMar at times, and, like, you could see the defense was just softer on Kyle, and it was just, like, there was more room to breathe for him, and sort of just, it just felt like the offense was running smoother when they weren't having to run it through DeMar. So that was kind of an observation I picked up. I don't know, what else can we talk about from this game?
The Serge Ibaka was god-awful.
Oh, he was bad, yeah.
yeah. He can't. Like, I didn't think he could play worse than he did in game four.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
You know, offered nothing on the glass, offered nothing scoring-wise.
Yeah.
Wasn't really protecting the rim. I think he actually got into it a little bit with Rex Kalamian when he got subbed off for the last time.
Yeah.
You know, what was it? Towards the end of the third?
Yeah.
And yeah, so obviously a very frustrating night for him. Obviously no one wants to play that way, but there's something that he needs to figure out in terms of how to attack this Wizards defense. Yeah. There's a couple times again where he wasn't shot ready, where they left him open on the perimeter and he's going to that sort of pump fake and then trying to make the move on Markieff Morris, and it's just not happening for him right now. He's got to figure something out, another counter, or he's just got to be ready and just shoot the ball as soon as it comes.
Yeah. In fairness to Serge, there weren't that many opportunities for him to just shoot the ball when it came in this game, because,
that's true as well.
Like, as we were talking about with Jonas in particular, like, they were really sticking to Jonas on the roll when DeMar had the ball. They were also sticking to Serge really tight and not allowing that sort of outlet to open up, because that opens up opportunities for swinging the ball and additional drives and kicks and, you know, breaking the defense apart further. So I thought maybe the Raptors could have done a better job of involving him early. Yeah. Maybe that leads to him being more engaged down the stretch, but at the same time, it's the playoffs. You should probably just be engaged all the time, even if the ball's not coming to you for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, your guard's not finding you or just the scheme not really working out for you.
I thought they didn't do a good job of trying to involve CJ early either.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't until that fourth where he really got going.
Yeah, and, like, you have to credit the Wizards' defense too. Like, I think they've executed their plan reasonably well the last couple of games. It's just in this game in particular, DeMar burned them, you know, for giving him all those opportunities, right? And he sort of made it work. And then whenever let's talk about Kyle. Kyle was really good in this game. Like,
he was really good. I thought he had a much better second half than he did the
first.
Yeah,
for sure. But even in the first half, he was, like, hitting his shots. He was active looking for his shots, which he hasn't always been in this series.
Yeah.
He only attempted 13 shots, but, like, it felt like he was kind of looking for his looks a little bit
which
more
is what
aggressively.
They need.
Yeah, for sure. So, I don't know. What do you think of Kyle's series so far as a whole?
As a whole, I think he's been, like the rest of the team, better at home than on the road. I think there are some things just in terms of his aggressiveness in one-on-one situations, whether it's, you know, getting his own shot off or creating for teammates. I think that's something that he might want to get better at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at last year or a year before, he had that to him where he could, you know, he had that, whether he's lost a step or not, that maybe is something you have to think about, but he had that dribble move where he could pull up and mm-hmm. drain that mid-range J, or, you know, use the hesitation and get all the way to the rim. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look like that's there anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's a little bit troubling, and which is part of why DeMar DeRozan has to do so much of the work now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting how the Wizards have transitioned their sort of tactics. And you look at after game one, when Beal and Wall and Brooks are all saying we're surprised that, you know, the role players made as many shots as they did.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they make those shots, we'll live with it. And now they've gone from saying we'll live with the role players making shots to saying anyone but the role players.
Which I think speaks to this being a much improved roster over last year, and like a much more reliable one at that. This game, I thought, was like, I think we have to just like the whole like rumor of like, and like the notion that Kyle and DeMar are bad playoff players. I feel like this series has done a pretty good job of eliminating that, because I do think, even though DeMar kind of struggled in the last game, I do kind of feel like their performances in this series, they haven't really wilted under like a lot of burden that they've been put under, especially since game one, when the Wizards really clamped down and tried to prevent threes and are preventing the secondary guys from going off. Like, they've been asked to do a lot, and they've done it pretty well. Like, it kind of went haywire in game four in the fourth quarter, but for the most part, aside from that like 12 to 16 minute stretch at the end of that game, like, they've been taking the challenge and, you know, accomplishing pretty much what you would want from them, right? And like, Kyle's defense, I think, has been really good. Even DeMar's defense, I think, has been more than passable.
He's definitely been way more engaged.
Been more than passable in this series. And it wouldn't, like, that lineup wouldn't have worked today if DeMar's defense wasn't, you know, at least average or slightly below average. Like, if he's being regular DeMar DeRozan, defensive pumpkin, that lineup with CJ and Jonas, like, probably doesn't end up working. But I think together, I mean, God, that the defense of that, like, the rim protection from Jonas, just the point of attack defense, the recovery, it was like pristine.
Mm-hmm.
I think both Kyle and DeMar have been really good in this series, even though there's been a couple games here and there maybe they've struggled. But
yeah.
So
one thing I'd touch on with Kyle, just came to mind, is, you know, in terms of him getting that in between game going, the one shot that probably hasn't been falling as much for him as he'd like is that pull up three in semi-transition. So if he gets that shot going, then all of a sudden they're going to have to get up on him a lot more, and that's going to open things up for him on the drive.
Yeah.
So that is probably the one area that'll free everything else up. And, you know, that's the one thing that the Raptors will want to see carry over to the road now, right? That three-point shooting, which really hasn't been there the way it has at home anyway.
Yeah.
One question I had for you. I noticed this at the end of the fourth quarter, the one where CJ Miles makes the three for the dagger.
Yeah.
Did you notice on the previous possession, when the Wizards were up the court, CJ Miles was not back defending? He was in the very corner that he hit the shot from.
Yeah.
Tying his shoelace.
Really?
I don't know if he thought there was a stoppage in play or what happened.
But I didn't notice this either.
He just was casually just tying his shoelace.
Is that the set play where they have him wait?
And then, and then he looked up and the Raptors were coming back down the court, and then he just hits the three.
I did not see this. I'm going to have to go back and watch this. I might write 1,500 words on this now, because that's amazing. No, I did not see that. That dagger he made, though, was the game was kind of squared away at that point. Anyway, they were up 10. Maybe, I don't know. That's bizarre. I would have to go back and see it and see exactly what happened. But that is, if that's true, that's amazing. And kind of a flex from CJ Miles, maybe. I don't need to defend this one. Jonas has been good enough in this down the stretch here.
He was
so good.
I don't
have to go down the other end.
I'm going to just stay in this corner.
Yeah. So
just spending some time with Vivek Ranadive playing that 4-on-5 defense.
It ended up working. So looking ahead to game 6 on Friday, I mean, the road games have been a struggle in this series. The Wizards are excellent at home. They've survived this situation a couple times in the past. What are you looking for from the Wizards? Do the Wizards change anything from what they did, or they just kind of stick to the formula that they had and hope it survives? Like, I don't know. I don't know if they should be playing Markieff Morris very much. He sucks a lot. He's been bad in this series. I don't know. Like, he kind of, I thought, was a bit of a liability down the stretch. Having him on the floor kind of made it easier for Jonas to not be right up on him on the perimeter and kind of allowed him to hang it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe there's more Mike Scott minutes in lieu of Morris. Like, is there an adjustment? Is there a tweak that the Wizards can make going into game 6 here to kind of push the action back at the Raptors?
I think they feel very confident at home.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see a lot of the same. I think it's more about what the Raptors do from about, you know, the last 2 minutes of the first quarter.
Yeah.
That can really change
those transitional lineups have been not good.
Yeah. So, you know, every game in the series, the Raptors have started off, you know, the first 7-8 minutes have been really good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Even this one, where were they up, you know, 18 to 13 or whatever early on. And then the Wizards made their way back. You know, when the Raptors go to that all bench unit, you know, I don't know if Casey was trying to summon the Norman Powell of Game 5s before.
Hey, man, might as well try it.
I mean, but it obviously didn't work. Unfortunately, Norm is just not Norm this season. And so I think that's going to be a central point when we look at Game 6. You know, what are the transitional lineups? How often does he now go to JV or early in that second quarter? Mm-hmm. You know, if Gortat comes in there with Wall and they're running that pick and roll, do you change it up and get JV in there earlier?
Yeah, I wonder if that transitional lineup would be, I mean, the whole argument against like having JV play with the second unit has been like you don't want to compromise the identity of the lineup, but without Fred VanVleet, who may be back for Game 6, we don't really know. It seemed like he was upgraded to questionable today, and Casey seemed a little miffed that the medical staff ruled him out, so this isn't reporting anything or suggesting that it's going to happen, but there's a potential for Fred to be back, so maybe this changes things. But the way the second unit is played in this, like, I don't think there's an identity that you're worried about compromising right now because the second unit has not been very good. No. So maybe having Jonas in there. I mean, Jonas played 32 minutes tonight, so that might be the extent of what you wanted to play anyway. But maybe Serge, something like that. You play Serge at the five. If Pirtle's struggling the way he has, I mean, I think there are ways to kind of put a little bit more talent into those and like shooting and just versatility into that second unit at the end of the first, start of the second, because I just think at this point the DeMar plus bench unit is not working, and I think they lost 6-3 in like the 2 minutes between when that came in at the end of the first quarter, and that
at the end of the first they gave up a 5-0 run.
And then it was a different DeMar and bench unit. They had Norm out there instead of Siakam I think at the end of the third quarter, which I think was a bit more successful or maybe played even or something like that, but it still wasn't like, you know, blowing anyone away. And Norm just looked out of it all night. 8 minutes, didn't do a whole lot. I think that's probably the biggest question for the Raptors, because like they're winning where they have to win. Like they've won crunch time with some funky lineups late, like small lineups, whether it was Serge at the five in game two or Jonas with the smalls out there today. They're winning first quarters mostly. They're winning most of the third quarters as well to start. It's just those transitional times where they're getting killed. And I don't know, is there a lineup you'd like to see, or sort of a way in which they could change up the rotation, or do you just kind of live with those bad minutes the way the Wizards live with the minutes where they keep all their best players on the bench?
I might look to, you know, maybe get that starting five out a little bit earlier, and then that way you have something to go to a bit quicker to get into that those transitional lineups, because I think when you play them too long, that's when you get into that mix where, well, you can't go to any of the starters because they just came off.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where you sort of shoot yourself in the foot. So I think there's got to be something there, whether it's JV that comes out a bit earlier. Or
hey, the JV with smalls works. Maybe you take out Serge, throw in Miles or something like that to kind of mix that up.
Right? Yeah. I mean, so much of this is based on how the bigs perform next game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have Ibaka, Siakam, and Pirtle struggle again.
Yeah.
I think that is one thing that they'll have to look at in terms of who gets the minutes. You know, Pirtle, that was probably his best game four.
Mm.
And he still wasn't great. You know, it wasn't the Pirtle that we've become accustomed to seeing in the regular season, but it was a positive step. And Siakam, I think it's a big challenge for him in terms of how they're defending him, how does he get off his offense. And, you know, I thought he again had some good minutes defending Wall.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting tactic from
It's Casey. Nice. It's nice to throw different looks.
It's nice to be able to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's what he offers, right? The ability to defend pretty much all five positions. So, if one of those two bigs can get their game going in Washington, it just makes those other lineups a lot easier to go to.
Certainly. Here's hoping Fred's back. here's hoping the Raptors can close this damn thing out like they did in Milwaukee last year, although hopefully with less late game jitters than they had last season. It was really fun. This was a fun game. Game fives are great, apparently, in Toronto for any sport, as it turns out. And this was a very stressful for three quarters, but I think the release of that win is pretty excellent. It makes it all worth it. And it's a shame the Leafs lost, because it really had a chance to be like a super special night. They kept the game on at the ACC here, the Leaf game after the Raptors game finished up. It could have been a really great night. The Leafs blew it, but hey, it's okay. The Raptors are hopefully moving on. I'm going to say they beat the Wizards. Wizards and the Raptors in six. They're going to win on Friday.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about that, but they're going to win Friday. Things are good. They'll continue.
Definitely, maybe.
Yes. There is a blank percent chance the Raptors will win on Friday and move on to the next round against probably LeBron, who had to score 44 points tonight and hit a game winner against the Pacers once again, probably playing 56 minutes or whatever the hell. All right. I'm tired. We should wrap this thing up. Vivek, thank you for coming on, man. Where can people check you out in the next couple days?
I'll have my regular recap stuff with Norpol Hoops up soon, and we'll also have something for Raptors Republic tomorrow.
Woohoo!
So, yeah, watch out for that. Other than that, you can follow me on Twitter at Vivek M. Jacob. Thanks for listening.
Sounds good. You can follow me at Woodley Sean. I'm going to write about... So today, before the game, I wrote about who's going to become the next Raptors folk hero. I did not even mention DeLon Wright in the piece. So my piece tomorrow is just going to be about DeLon Wright and him becoming an immortal with that fourth quarter. He will be forever ensconced in Raptors history, so look for that for me on Raptors HQ, and might do a mailbag podcast or something tomorrow in reaction to this game. If not, there will be another podcast before the next game at some point. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back again sometime soon in the next couple days, and until then, thank you for listening. Subscribe, rate, review on iTunes, and we'll talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors.